This NBA Picks edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win a 100x in NBA, golf, MLB, MMA, NHL, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match.
Hey, this is John Sally, and you listen to SGPN. Let it ride.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, second the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Dog.
My God, what has happened to
you? How about those Sixers, baby? Tyrese Maxey. What a fucking game. That was electric. I was already getting the group thread fired up. How to best blow up the team. Then it was immediately, holy shit, Maxey with a 4-point play. They dominate in overtime, Ryan. It's everything you love about playoff basketball.
Really? You loved just the end of the game, though.
Yeah.
That's the part that you loved.
Yeah,
not the part that you missed earlier.
I may have missed a little of the second and third quarter. Okay.
And the first quarter.
No, I watched almost the entire first quarter. I also listened on the radio. You know, Stephanie's hot yoga class is. I also have to keep in shape. Unlike some of the guys on the Sixers, Ryan, I value my fitness, keeping at peak levels. Came back, had plenty of time to watch the remaining fourth quarter and overtime. Kramer, you gotta be feeling nervous as a Knicks.
No, I'm not a Fugazi fan you and the rest of these Sixers fans. I should have had my tirade about Boston. Let me pivot that to Philly. Mm. Soft. That's embarrassing. You didn't even bring it up. The way that they acted when they lost a serve at home, Embiid's calling them out. They're acting like bitches. I thought Philly was a sports town. This is the kind of thing that would amuse a Philly fan if it happened in any other city, but it happened in Philly to Philly, and they looked like punk bitches, and their punk bitch center called their punk bitches out.
Keep calling them punk bitches, Ryan. You're going to see them again Thursday night in Philadelphia. Place will be rocking.
10 times out of 10. Which side you taking in a street fight? Soft ass Philly? Or this New York Knicks team.
Tyrese Maxey was not soft, Ryan. He put the team on his back, got the win, got the cover.
Well, hopefully the lighting's good. No headaches. We'll see.
Yeah, Embiid played through a migraine. Shout out to Embiid.
He's very tough, very tough. I mean, in today's NBA, to play through that kind of injury, and then he's got all sorts of. Why do they have to remind
your guys' ass?
Can I ask you, your guys?
Oh, are you not representing the Knicks?
I'm not on the Wii level with the Knicks. Talked about this. Just like you're, I mean, this is part of the Wii factor. You showed up in the second half. You're like an LA sports fan.
Yeah.
Showing up in the fourth inning. Let's go. Take me out to the ball game. Anyway, Philly fans are soft. Don't be mad.
What did I tell you?
If they get to the second round, I'll get the Jalen Brunson jersey.
Why have you not ordered the Brunson jersey yet?
Because James Dolan has owned this team for a long time. I'm not getting fooled. Thibodeau, he's done this before. I like Brunson. I like the moxie of this team. I like how a bunch of kids from Villanova are kicking the teeth in occasionally of the Sixers in this series.
And I specifically like
how this Sixers team puts Philly sports fans in this weird bind because they're forced to root for soft ass punk bitch Joel Embiid and constantly make excuses for soft ass punk bitch Joel Embiid.
You know that punk bitch was soft on the floor getting loose balls in overtime helping the Sixers secure a win.
He's a dirty player. Lean into being, I said this in the office earlier. You want to be the heel? Be the heel. Be a dirty player, but lean into it. Don't fucking tell me about your disabilities and your fucking migraine headaches. Fuck off. Michael Jordan never had a migraine headache. You know why? He's not a bitch.
Did have the flu game, Ryan.
Yeah, you know, that wasn't on him that it got out, and he played. He played. Like, wait, that's a bad example, Sean.
Well, anyway. so did Embiid. He played. They got the win.
Arms are looking good. Arms are looking good.
YouTube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast if you want to check out the guns.
I'm expecting. All right, I'm going to set the over under at 2.5 super chats tipping Sean for his arms. Suns out, guns out. Hey, it's not the that stupid rodent in Pennsylvania. It's Sean's guns that tell you when summer's here.
All righty, Ryan. We're going to be joined by some real NBA experts. Before we do, shout out to Unified. Whether you're a world class athlete or a world class podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well being and proper recovery for top notch performance. I mean, you know, starts for me with some hot yoga, but why not add a little EE system in it? Unified Healing, you know, Sixers need a little healing. Makes sense why they're sponsoring this episode. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by the Energy Enhancement System, or the EE system. If you haven't heard of EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, rejuvenation, purification, and whether you're here in LA or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is both easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SGPN to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SGPN. No material testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any question you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system. Joining us on the line from the NBA Gambling Podcast, you got Scott Reichel. What's happening, Scott?
Still trying to get over what the hell happened in the first two games tonight in the NBA. A lot of bad beats all around, but just a crazy set of games.
Very. I mean, again, it was kind of buried the lead with how awesome the comeback was with Ryan's cantankerous and slander, but we'll get to that in just a second.
Literally had no rebuttal. That's how true it is.
No, I was more focused on the crazy comeback, Tyrese Maxey, historic game.
Basketball is about the narrative, Sean, not the actual game. Oh,
there's a great narrative brewing. Joining us on the line, Alante Smith, also from the NBA Gambling Podcast. Lante, how are we feeling about Knicks Sixers series right now? Obviously, the Sixers just won in dramatic fashion. Do you think they can pull out the rest of the series? I think, and maybe I'm spinning my own narrative, but I think the way they won against this Knicks team was almost better than if they blew out the Knicks or if they just won by 10 points. The way they won with the Knicks puckering up, choking at the end, the Sixers coming up clutch when it mattered most. I think the Sixers are now firmly rooted in the Knicks' heads. How say you, Lante?
Yeah, if you can get that from Tobias Harris, that kind of performance from Tobias Harris,
yes.
Oubre was really good defensively as well. Then they got a shot. I just thought they might have, you know, the game. What game was it that they had won? Was it game two?
Two, they really had one.
So I think you basically split off with that game and this game. Yeah. So outside of that, man, I think it's been pretty even. You can make a debate that Philly's probably been the better team overall, outside of maybe one performance. And, you know, with Embiid being banged up, I'm not sure. All those guys played 50 plus minutes, their main guys. So I'll be interested to see how they do in Philly. Hopefully, y'all get a better crowd, man, because it was sounding like Madison Square Garden.
How dare you? How dare you?
He's just reporting facts. He's a journalist.
Scott, what's your take on this Sixers Knicks series? I think you may have had the Knicks for the series. Was looking pretty good until Maxey saved the season, possibly the series. How are you feeling going into game five here? Or six?
Game six. I have the Knicks to win the series, so it would have been nice to cash that plus money play already, but I had Knicks in seven. So I'll feel even better if they win exactly in seven, because I'll look even smarter. But for the sake of the actual game that we ended up just seeing, I don't know what Del Thibodeau was doing in the last 10, 15 seconds of regulation. I know they missed some free throws. Hart's got to make the free throws. Mitchell Robinson fouling on a 3-up 6 is one of the dumbest things you can possibly do. I don't know why you're even jumping. Maxey's got about like 40-something points at that point. Why are you trying to block that? Like, it just seemed like a really dumb decision. Then on top of that, the dumbest part, the Knicks have two timeouts. Why is Thibodeau not advancing the ball to half court? What's the logic behind that?
Which play?
Your timeouts reset to two. So you would, it's a free timeout. You're going to lose the timeout anyway because it resets to two no matter what. Why are you not calling timeout on the inbound afterwards to advance it to half court? Because you saw the final possession, which Batum ended up blocking. Brunson took too long to go up the court. They basically trapped him on the inbound and he had to slow it down. And there was a prayer at the end of regulation. Why would you not use your timeout if you were going to lose it anyway? So Thibodeau fell asleep, not to mention the actual decision not to foul Maxey with like 9 seconds left. That one's a bit harder. Maxey hit it from the parking lot. There's 9 seconds left. You could argue there's too much time to actually foul there. It was mostly the no timeout call from Thibodeau, which I thought was egregious. But the four-point play by Mitchell Robinson, that can't happen. It's a game the Knicks needed. It's on the level of Reggie Miller, eight points in nine sets.
Well, I mean, like,
it's an all-time MSG.
Weekly really segment on the NBA game, or just any show, really. Scott scolding coaches. Scott scolding.
Taking them to test.
Well, and Scott scolding game show contestants with their poor game theory. That's also.
I don't know. I got to go back to that.
Yeah. I don't know, Scott.
I don't know if it's Thibodeau's fault, though.
Now, Lante, what do you make? Because I feel like what's your take? Why don't you think Thibodeau deserves any sort of blame here?
Yeah, so because if you look at it, okay, you don't want, I mean, general, this is just general speaking. Like, I think a lot of coaches actually say this. They would rather have, you know, a scramble situation versus setting up a play, having their defense get set. And he probably, I'm guessing Nick Nurse probably would have took Embiid off the court, because if you notice, every pick and roll that Jalen Brunson scored on is because Embiid can't move to get anywhere. So he's playing drop coverage. So Jalen's shooting wide open threes. If he comes up, then Jalen's blowing past him. So you probably put a smaller defender in the game because they're going to take Mitchell Robinson out of the game and put a better offensive player. So, I mean, I think Jalen throwing a ball away and then shooting like an ill-advised three is probably what cost. I mean,
and well, he said overtime. As well. I'm saying to get to the final point, though. To go back to why I roast coaches all the time, we always roast athletes.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to roast coaches because they get paid millions of dollars to sit there and analyze stuff they've analyzed for about 40 years. Thibodeau's been in basketball for like 30, 40 years. You should use a timeout there. I understand what Lante's saying, though, to get the defenses set up. I understand that. Your offense is one player. Brunson's been carrying you for three games. He's been taking every shot, basically, for your team. Don't you at least want to get him a breather before the final possession?
Not Thibodeau. I also like
that. Thibodeau's rest is for the week.
Something feet. You're saving half the distance you need to go in order to get a bucket just by calling timeout. You could have saved time. You could have gotten your guy a rest. You could have come up with a better play. It just felt like the Knicks were out of sorts in the final possession, and everybody was gassed because Thibodeau's played everybody 40 plus minutes for about 8 months. So I feel like they could have used a breather there. They should have called timeout.
Call timeout. Draw up your best play. It's the Andy Reid School of Coaching. Yeah, I did really enjoy the series of videos of Scott scolding.
There's a Price is Right
for Family Feud strategy that was not plus EV.
I was on Price is Right. I did that one time.
Price is Right.
It was honestly a perfect storm. I just turned it on one morning. It was the dumbest thing ever.
I gotta go back. Well, I do think that these coaches, it's amazing how many coaches making millions of dollars with probably, you know, multi-million dollar budget for their assistants don't figure out to just hire someone, call it like the director of micro edges, and just have them tell you when
I'm
to
come.
Yeah, exactly. There's plenty of people.
Timeout. What do you mean you're available? You didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, because what is he gonna do? Draw up a Jalen Brunson?
Well, Scott, he wants to be there to say, don't take the timeout.
Yeah, my point is, it's about the distance and the overall rest for your star player. You cut 45 feet if you call timeout to advance to half court. That's my point. And you're gonna lose the timeout anyway. It resets to two in overtime, no matter what. So what maybe take them to go.
Maybe the czar of micro edges. I do think that there's no way these coaches watch as much basketball as some of y'all D-gens out there.
That we criticize all the time for dumb plays. I'm 5'11". I could have never played in the NBA. It was never in the cards. For coaching, I feel like a lot of us who watch sports all the time can make reasonable decisions that these guys are getting paid millions of dollars for. That's why I criticize coaches more than players, because I think I could actually do a decent job at least making game decisions late in spots. I can't hit a three pointer over 7-footer. I can't do all this other stuff that involves physical.
Not with that attitude, Scott.
But using my brain, I think I can handle that. That's why I criticize coaches making this much money.
It's you should focus on the end game. It is the end of the game. Might be critical.
Yeah, no, Thibodeau, kind of, yeah, certainly some questions.
You know, sometimes you watch the Formula One, those beautiful performance, examples of engineering, they break down sometimes. That's Thibodeau's brain.
Thibodeau reminds me of like Kevin James, if Kevin James never made it in Hollywood, like visually, just like if Kevin James didn't get the money and started taking care of himself, it was just like worked at a factory.
Never did the hair replacement.
Yeah, never went full shaved head. Thibodeau was like, fuck it, whatever I got, I'm just parting to the side and gonna move.
I'm saying that because there was a photo going around the internet of Thibodeau pumping his own gas into his car.
I didn't see that. Yes, it was. He seemed like he could be working at a gas station in New Jersey. Where I appreciate you're not allowed to pump your own gas.
Oh, you think he needs someone to pump his gas for him?
Well, again, it's a very regional thing because in New Jersey, you legally can't. Again, you want to talk about soft, Ryan? Guys like you, scared to pump your own gas in New Jersey. Me.
Be careful who you speak.
Blue collar Pennsylvania. We always pump our own gas.
Yeah, be careful.
Since Wante and I disagree,
yes.
Would you have taken a timeout there, or do you agree with Wante?
Let's just put it in football context. If you're basically driving down the field, you got 45 seconds left. You're on the 25 yard line. If you are like just zoning them up. Every time, are you going to call a timeout so they can set up a defense to kind of help you, or are you going to just keep going with the flow? It's kind of just
if in the NFL they let you teleport half the field for every timeout, they would 100% take a timeout.
I mean, that's
they would go from the 50 to the 25.
I think with Lante in Lante's scenario, it was like the end of the Seahawks Patriots Super Bowl where Belichick, everyone says you're supposed to take a timeout there, but no, the moment he knew they were going to blow it, so he didn't call a timeout. He was thinking that, but as a coach, I pride myself on my inbounds plays from the half court. So yes, I would be taking the timeout just to show off my play calling ability.
It shows that he trusts his team.
I
think it shows that he trusts his team.
Yeah,
that's what it says to me. But to Scott's point, in the NBA, I think you probably should call the timeout.
Yeah, because what's he going to draw? He's not going to draw up anything. They're going to pass the ball to Brunson. He's going to dribble.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah.
You're going to get Brunson the ball and make something out of nothing. Why would you not shorten the distance and get him some water before he's going to try to bail out your franchise again? Like, it just feels like it was a lazy move where Thibodeau fell asleep. That's kind of how I look at it. But then again, I also hate it when teams play it out. I would always try to get a good look. Because what do you get most of the time? You let your players play it out. It's a crappy fadeaway jumper by your best player.
Well, that's just
80% of the time.
That's just a general comment, though, about coach. I think in general, it's amazing, especially in college basketball at the highest levels, how often these premier coaches have no idea how to drop a play to win a game at the end of the game. That is somewhat shocking to me. But we also are not expecting, like Lante said, I don't think Tibbs isn't going to do that. Like the play is go get it.
Whatever's
go get it.
Tibbs is definitely old school in a lot of ways, so I understand why he probably didn't
carry Doc Rivers to some championships. That's pretty impressive.
What about the other game tonight? Kind of a wild ending, back and forth. Magic Cavs. Orlando got the cover. Finally broke 100 points in Cleveland. Cleveland hung on, got the victory. Scott, any takeaways from that game moving forward? Do the Magic, now they go back to Orlando, where Orlando's 2-0. The home team has won every game this series. Do you think it just ends up being Cavs in 7? How do we think the rest of the series shakes out?
Well, I'm extra salty on that ending because I had the Magic plus 1.5 games and I had the Cavs team total under 103.5 and they landed 104. It's a game Orlando needed. I'm not going to say that they're screwed, because I still originally picked Orlando in 7. Jared Allen's out. You kind of have to win that game.
Yeah.
You kind of have to. I was shocked Jared Allen didn't play. He's got a bruised, bruised ribs or something, but they're missing their best rebounder, their anchor defensively. You kind of have to take that game. It's a spot where you could argue the Knicks kind of need to take the game, but you have an injury there. The Pacers tonight, they're getting buried by Milwaukee. Milwaukee doesn't have any players. Like, it's kind of how you look at it, where you can argue we can still win at home. It's not over. We can pull it off. If you're down and you need to steal a road game and the home team's missing one of their best players, you have to take it. Now, it's a great game, went down to the wire. It's a heartbreaker. I'm not concerned about my plus 1.5. I don't think Cleveland's going to win in Orlando. I think Orlando's going to win at home in game 6. We're going to be going back to game 7. But it's a really bad missed opportunity, and I think you'd agree with that.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Breakdown for next year. Some teams are better at home. We got to remember that.
Breaking news. Something to consider for the playoffs. I thought Orlando was going to be live in the series. Obviously, they didn't feel. And they are. But to your point, like, obviously, this would have been huge. Lante, any takeaways from the Magic Cavs series?
Yeah, go ahead, hit the cash out button, Scott. They're losing. Cleveland.
I'll wait for 7.
Really?
I don't have to worry about that. I'll wait for 7. I can head.
Cleveland's winning. Cleveland's winning on Thursday.
Ooh, really? Spicy. Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. You remember, Sean, you
spoiled half the podcast. We're gonna talk about that game later. But okay.
My bad. Cool. Sean, you had me and you had a similar thought on the Pelicans game after the Pelicans kind of played OKC tough in that first game, and then what happened in the second game?
Yeah.
It kind of got blew out. I thought the Magic blew their opportunity. Paolo played out of his mind. No Allen. I mean, the Cavs didn't really play their best basketball. They had a chance to like extend the lead, and they just couldn't get to it because Paolo was like on fire, hitting everything. Now, granted, he's not going to go for probably not 40. I think he was close to 40 tonight, but I just think that when Allen gets back, that's going to kind of clog up that paint. They're going to build that wall on Paolo and force those other guys to beat him. And I don't know if you can trust Suggs, Franz, or any of those guys to kind of knock down shots on a consistent basis, which is kind of what you got to do and what they've done in those two games. So I think the defensive intensity is going to come back. We're going to get a Donovan Mitchell good game. He had 28, but he didn't play that well tonight. Yeah. So I think we're going to see a big effort from Cleveland. I think they close it out in 6.
Mm. Do we have a number out for that one yet?
Let's see. I could check it out. It should be like around Cleveland, like minus 2.5 if Allen's back.
Yeah,
that'll Cleveland's favorite.
I think they are. Yeah.
Okay, I think it's going to be closer to like Orlando minus 1 personally, but
the first two
Orlando games they won by like 20 and change. Like, yeah, I'm assuming
Orlando's Magic 3.5. It's Magic 3.5.
3.5. Okay, I thought Orlando would be favored. The home teams have won every game.
Give me Cleveland.
Home team to look sharp again.
All right, let's get to it. I love the we're already getting into it here.
It's like American Gladiators.
Yes,
it's the good rivalry with Nitro.
First up, tomorrow's games we got, or today, depending on when you're listening to the podcast. Miami Heat catching 14 in Boston. Of course, Celtics 12-13 straight up in the playoffs at home since 2022. They haven't been great. They are up 3-1 against the Heat.
What a roller coaster.
I know. I'm going to keep betting on the Heat. I'm going to take the Heat getting 14 points. Yeah. This is when Miami's good. They're good on the road. They're good as a dog. 26-16-2 on the road ATS. 18-10 ATS is a road dog. 28-22 straight up. The Heat. Now, granted, they were like really off the, I mean, set a franchise record for threes in game 2 that carried them. But then at home, they couldn't buy a basket. They shot very poorly. I do think some of it regresses back, and the Celtics struggle, especially at home, covering the big number. Celtics in their last 21 games, 6-15 straight up on the money line in the fourth quarter. I mean, a lot of it is they're up big and they're kind of cruising, so teams will kind of come back a little bit. I think that's why they're struggling to cover the big number here. But again, I just keep believing in Heat culture, and maybe I should lay the 14. I'm not going to do it. I'm always going to take Spoelstra getting double digits. Scott, how say you?
So I was all over the Celtics in game 4. I just thought that they were going to kill Miami. I don't think Miami's any good. It's not their fault. I mean, half the team's injured. Rozier hasn't played a game all series. Butler's injured.
Yeah.
Watching them play, Boston started to be a lot more aggressive with their on-ball pressure after game 2, and they've dominated because Miami can't score. They're just not talented enough. Now, they can get hot from 3 and steal a game. It's the NBA. 3-point variance you can steal if you hit a franchise record in threes. Now Porzingis is injured. So there's a unique wrinkle here. He's going to be out for probably a while. It was a non-contact injury. Didn't look good. I'm going to go to Miami in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Boston is a team that seems to always struggle at home for whatever reason. I don't know why it is, but I think you hit the nail on the head at the end. I think that Boston will be up a decent amount. Miami's going to have a good fourth quarter, and I think they cover. Do I think they win the game? No, But I saw the same exact Boston team lose to Atlanta at home
in
game five last year, and DeJounte Murray didn't even play, and they still managed to lose that game. So I think Boston is going to play with their food, but I do think they're going to look a little bit disorganized having to use Horford more with Porzingis being out. So I'm going to lean to Miami plus the points. Am I picking them to win the game? No. I think Boston wins in five. I think that Miami is thrilled to even win a game in hindsight with all the injuries they have. But I see a low-scoring game. Give me an ugly game. I think Miami's down 20. They go on a run in the fourth quarter, and they lose by 10. Give me Heat plus 14.
They were that game four was so annoying. Of course, I was obviously on the Heat once again. But that was like it reminded me of that Chris Paul meme where it's like Chris Paul hits a three to cut the deficit to 32, whatever it was. Like the the Heat kept getting it to like 17-15, and I was sitting there with like 11 points, and they kept getting up against it. And then
you were putting Celtics a lot of energy into your cheering for that.
Well, it was just one of those things.
Fuck!
It was so annoying because it was
shit. God damn it!
They were just tickling it like the,
I'm in
they
the
were
other room.
And they were tickling the back door the entire time, and you knew it was never going to work out. But then even the last couple shots at the end, like they were like you know, there was that one. What was it? They called a flagrant or something.
Bam ended up undercutting.
It was like all right, and that really kind of ended any sort of hope. Lante, how say you, Heat Celtics? What do we like?
Yeah, I think you guys got the profitable mindset, but I just can't back it. I'll lean your way, but I like the under the most.
Ooh, okay.
Three of the four have went under. Miami's under 90 points in back-to-back games, but they do play their best when they're in Boston. They're actually like one of the only few teams that play well in Boston. So that's a feather in the cap of you guys. I don't know if they have enough. Hawkins is out, so now they're going to be relying more on like Highsmith.
Oh, they don't have anybody. They're just like, finding whoever they can possibly get.
So I just don't know. I mean, outside of just bombing threes, which is probably the right mindset, I don't know how they can stay, you know, like within this number. But I also don't trust Boston to kind of stay locked in and focus for a full game. And even when Miami shot out of their mind, they only scored 111 points. Yeah. Like, so they shot 32% or lower from three in 3 of 4 games. I like the under the most. Maybe if you could find a team total under, maybe like 92.5, 93.5 for Miami. I like that as well. I just don't know if they can win a high scoring game. I don't know if they can score over 90 points, to be honest with you. So I like
if Miami somehow gets to like 100, they're guaranteed to cover the spread. Like if they somehow get to 100, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But
Kramer, what are you doing?
I am undefeated in totals plays, tailing guests on this show. I'm taking the under.
I like it. Totals guy now.
I was going to, it doesn't seem like I should put an irrational amount of money on the Heat money line. It does. I think I would get roasted by Scott, like one of those those poor coaches, if I did that. I kind of feel
Scott's
the same
breaking down your handicap in another video. This guy thinks he knows what he's talking about when it comes to NBA playoff totals.
You know, he's gonna have fun with Terrell because Terrell bit it.
It's like hitting that Century Club milestone in the gangbang. You know, things might be at the end of the road.
Did not see that reference coming.
Surprise. Under 199.5, I guess.
Shout out to JR in the YouTube chat. This is like Voltron, the elusive Lante in the cut with the OG. Oh, wow. Salute to y'all. Salute to you, JR. Good to have Lante on the show. Good to have Scott on the show.
I like that Lante's character has elusive before. I want to know more.
Never know when he's going to pop up. I like it. Man
this
of mystery.
This is the dark web they speak of.
Dallas Mavericks now laying 3 in Los Angeles against the Clippers. Clippers seem to figure it out that, hey, don't play Kawhi. Yeah. He's actually hurting the
better
team
without him.
As a guy who's a Mavericks for the series, I hope they play Kawhi. That being said, I just don't see James Harden having back-to-back playoff games where he plays that well. I'm sorry. I'm super skeptical. I don't see it happening again. And we're still due for a Luka efficient game. Like, he's getting the points. He's just not getting there on the shooting percentage. And you look at the ATS, Mavs are the best road team in the NBA. 19-5 ATS as road favorites. Clippers, not great as home dogs here.
To this game?
You can probably get in pretty cheap. Like, people would have no idea that playoff basketball is happening. Ryan, we forgot to mention, if you ever lived out in LA, there's this phenomenon where they start selling Lakers flags as soon as the as soon as the playoff starts, man.
And people put them on their cars. Like you don't see one in the entire fucking season. Then once you get to the playoffs, bang. Every fucking minivan has Lakers so flags on both sides.
These tents pop up at like gas stations selling a bunch of like knockoff shirts and hats and jerseys and flags. I swear, Ryan, they didn't even put up the tent until like game two or three. No. And immediately the tent is gone. It was like the shortest run for the Lakers merch tent.
I feel bad. The cartel got the handlers are going to be pissed off. They did not come back with enough money.
Not good for them. Lante, we'll start with you on this game. What do you like, Mavericks, Clippers? I'm going to take the Mavericks laying the three. But I'm a little nervous because I do think Ty Lue's a good coach. But again, the Paul George, James Harden performance, I don't know if they can do it again. So I'm going to ride with Kyrie and the Mavs and Luka. How say you, Lante?
Yeah, it's tough for me as well, because I think that you can make a debate that despite it being a tie series that, you know, the Clippers have been the better team outside of a couple of quarters. And they had a chance to steal one even when Kawhi came back. But I think you took everything that I was going to say, man. I think it's going to be a Luka masterclass game. His numbers are what they are because he's just that good, but we just haven't seen that Luka take over the whole game from start to finish. And he kind of mentioned it in some pressures that he was doing. He was being like, he was doing a disservice to Kyrie. He was kind of letting Kyrie down by not pulling his weight. You know, the knee or calf or whatever's going on with him is giving him an issue, but I mean, give him a few shots. He'll be ready to go tomorrow. So I think he's going to have a big game. Jason Kidd won't be able to make that dumb mistake by not playing any of his bigs who are his best shot blockers, which was idiotic. Scott, I know I'm going to take your thunder or anything, but I know you're going to speak on
no,
that.
No, it's really funny watching Maxi Kleber try to contest.
Yeah. I mean, you got two 7-footers, one you drafted and the other that you brought in, and you don't have either one of them on the court. And Harden is just going floater after floater. It's like a layup line. So, yeah, I think he's going to learn from that. Obviously, if he doesn't, then, you know, Mark Cuban should call me to coach the team. But, yeah, I think Dallas has a good chance to win it here behind a big Luka performance, man. So I wouldn't be surprised if they blow out the Clippers here.
Scott, how say you?
Yeah, I'm really torn here because both teams have injured stars. Kawhi is injured and he might not play. You could argue the Clippers are better without him. Luka's had his knee wrapped for the last couple of days, and he's looked pretty underwhelming in the series based on his efficiency. Kyrie's been crazy. Paul George was great last game. James Harden's been great the entire series. It's actually one of the best series ever played, which is kind of out of nowhere. But I don't know how to read into what happened in game four. Am I like backing the Clippers after winning a big road game, or do I like the Mavericks coming back from 31 down and almost winning the game? Like, I don't know what the takeaway is, because the Clippers showed a lot of resolve just by actually finishing it off after choking away that big of a lead. On the other hand, if the Clippers don't shoot insane from three in the first half, they probably lose the game by a wide margin. So it's pretty tough to separate these teams. I think I'm going to take the points. I just find it a bit weird that Dallas is laying 3.5 here on the road. I know the Clippers don't exactly have a phenomenal fan base. Cheapest tickets, by the way, are $78 if you guys want to.
Oh, really?
Okay. No, but that's pretty cheap.
Is that three? Like, I think it's a coin flip game. I really don't see much separating these teams. I find it interesting the total has been bet down from 209.5 to 207.5 when game four landed in the 220s. I'm going to lean under. I see a very ugly game. But I think I'm leaning Clippers here. I really just don't see much separating these teams. And I think that if that's the case, give me the +3. I think it's a one possession game line.
Kramer, break the tie. What are you doing here?
Is Kawhi going to play?
No, he's done. Lawrence Frank said he's done.
Oh, really? Okay.
Give me the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things. They seem
full
to do.
Benedict. I'm
Do you still have your Clippers shirt, Ryan?
Ooh,
we got free shirts in that game where they lost.
They blew
that crazy lead against the Rockets.
Who was
and Harden was sitting the entire fourth quarter. That was such a crazy.
That was with Josh Smith.
Josh,
yes,
yeah,
he was going off. It was crazy.
I had money on Houston. Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, I don't go to a ton of basketball games.
But you were at that game?
I was randomly at.
You were at the Corey Brewer.
Yeah, Corey Brewer. Yeah.
Wow. It was a crazy environment.
Where you were at that game? Okay.
Were you with me? The because I was at a game. I was at two games in that series.
I was just at that one, and I vividly remember it because it was probably the peak of going to Clippers games and there actually being fans because it was like Lob City and they kind of had a little bit of a fan base. No, I think we had some regular tickets.
Okay.
Seats that were pretty sweet, but that was a crazy class.
It's just that was like an all. You could feel it in the building, like. Like a long way away.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
Yeah, definitely was.
Scott, I gotta ask you, what's your shirt? I see the I am part, and then it's like a cliffhanger. I don't know. Okay.
McLovin.
Oh, okay.
McLovin from Superbad.
That's an amazing McLovin photo too. I love it. No, it was just like I kept when you would sit back, it says I am, and then I couldn't see the rest of the shirt. I had no
idea. It's not a legend, it's McLovin. Oh,
All right. We got a couple Thursday games already out. Some spreads. Hit on those real quick. Underdog Fantasy, of course. Use the promo code SGPN. Get you 100% deposit match up to $100. Obviously active in a ton of states and Canada. Florida now has the champions game. You can get in on that. Underdogfantasy.com. Promo code SGPN. I would like to put together a little entry with Lante. And our buddy Scott, maybe one higher, one lower. That seemingly seems to work good for us. How say you guys? Anything you like next day or two that's out for the underdog fantasy, higher, lower? Scott, how say you? Anything jumping out at you?
I'm gonna let Lante go first because I want to know if he picks a higher or a lower.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going higher on Derek Lively. Do they have points and rebounds?
Let me see. I will pull up Derek Lively. We have 7.5 points or 5 rebounds available for us right now.
Let's go points because I think he's going to see an increased minutes. Gafford's banged up. He can get like that's just 4 lobs in a whole game for him. So I think he can do that. So give me 7.5 for Derek Lively.
Points. Like it, Scott.
Can I interrupt for a real quick question? Is it points, rebounds, and assists, or points, assists, and rebounds?
Well, if you're a golf guy, then it's par.
But it's typically
as NBA guys, we call it PRA.
Okay, just checking.
No, Ryan was making fun of some guy on ESPN Bet's show who and they
did
the
it
graphic,
again today.
They did.
Called it par.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe you even watched that, Ryan.
Well, God's eye watches everything.
If you fade them, you've done quite well.
We have 8 TVs, Lante, so a lot of cam, and right, you know, man. We got to keep an eye on corporate cam. Let's see what they're
actually
up to.
There's actually a fun segue briefly. They do like a home run pick on SportsCenter every day.
Yeah.
They have like a leaderboard. I think they're like 1 in 20, like the home run predictions. Like they had the whole record on, and it's like, no, we're like 19 games. We've got it right one time this entire season. I'm like, all right, that's great. Probably like the graphic.
That's like a Charles Barkley. That's like a Charles Barkley parlay on TNT.
Yeah, they're like, we stopped keeping track of this. We're just gonna show you.
They don't have their own sports book. Like you have people like giving out home run picks, and they have their own sports book, and they're 1 in 19. That's crazy.
My
they're really gonna feel the wrath of the internet. One of these NFL or NBA drafts where like you can bet on the draft and like there'll be some crazy news that Schefter breaks that like swings the odds and everyone's gonna be like, oh, they knew, they told them, they changed it because they, oh yeah, of course you have Woj working for you, you know, yeah, and, oh, of course you're gonna give the bad odd, like they're gonna get it so bad they have no
idea. Impossible for NBA draft. I don't know if they'll be able to book it. Woj literally for like 6 or 7 years when he was at Yahoo, it was even worse. He was tweeting out like picks, 2 picks ahead of time. Like literally, it was so bad.
Yeah, they're gonna get some major flack one of these times.
We are officially anti pick tipping.
Yeah, come on.
I just wanted to get that out there.
Scott, what do you got here? Underdog Fantasy.
Yeah, so for my lower, I think I might actually go with a bit of a hot take here. What's Paul George's points at?
Oh, yeah.
Paul George coming down to earth. His higher lower set at 24.5 points.
I will take the lower. He's going under in every game except for the last one. And he scored, I forgot how many points he scored in the first half. 26 in the first half and 7 in the second half. He just went crazy from 3 for 2 quarters. I'll take the lower on that.
Like it. Derek Lively higher 7.5 points. Paul George lower 24.5 points. And of course, if you want a free $100, use the promo code SGPN, Underdog Fantasy. Download the app or underdogfantasy.com.
My sister or my daughter's middle school game was really bad. They were winning by a lot at halftime. It was 29-0. It got up to 43-0, and they decided to just turn the scoreboard off. They just turned it off.
What is she playing softball?
No, that's basketball.
Oh, I was about to say, what the?
And I mean, you don't show it when it gets that bad. You just turn it off. Just one of the teachers just made an executive decision.
What's worse?
That's what I said. The mercy rule,
or turning the scoreboard off.
You know what's worse is, all right, so the way it happens in soccer, especially, it's like, okay, it's whatever, 6-7-0. We don't want any more goals scored. And all the coach is just like, okay, don't score. Just pass it around. And it's like, this is not the sportsmanship I think that you're going for by not blowing the team out. I mean, you want to stop them? Stop them. That's the way I see it. That's how I coach, Sean.
I agree. Especially if you have a bid on the team.
It's even worse when the coach gets suspended by like the league for running up the score.
It's like come on.
What do you want from the guy?
All right,
they're playing a game.
As someone who's gotten that that notice from the league office,
really, you got a notice from running up a score?
My team was so much better than theirs. I'm sorry, you know. I don't know what that's supposed to. What lesson is that supposed to teach? Well, when you're getting killed, it's fine. They're going to take it easy on you. Like, I don't get what the lesson is.
It's such an easy argument to have. It's like you're teaching children a really complex lesson by saying that you can score a lot until you get to this point. Then you shouldn't score at all. And you should just dance around the other team like something's wrong with them.
More disrespectful to just
I agree.
So.
I had a bit of a bad boy reputation around the youth soccer coaching street. So
look out, right?
You can't believe it.
You know, a little prickly sometimes.
All right, let's get
anybody
to
take action out there. Anybody take action?
I'm sure you can find some books. Listen it.
I would say there are definitely Sunday games. Definitely had dads watching NFL games. Talking about gambling.
At least like a squares game would be pretty fun. Maybe not for soccer because it's low scoring, but basketball, Ryan. Come on, get a little squares pool going.
See what's going on. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of kids in there. Maybe get them under the free to play, whatever the sports books are doing. Legal grooming,
free to play games.
Hey, you like this scratch off here?
Yeah, all right. Oh, that reminds me.
You want some Italian ice?
All right, we got a couple games already listed for Thursday. Nice. Knicks at Sixers.
Oh, easy.
Sixers laying 3.5 at home. Play the song. The stadium will be, the arena will be rocking.
Yep.
Knicks totally got it in their own heads. No chance they come in to Philly and get the win. I thought really there was a little passing of the torch where Embiid's like, hey, Maxi, you're going to be the alpha. Maxi's cool with that. And I thought he responded.
I don't think it'd be a torch. That's the light sensitivity for the migraine. That would probably affect him there.
Ryan, you're
maybe it's like a lightsaber.
We're gonna get hit up by a Bell palsy advocacy.
Bell palsy.
Yes.
I mean, first of all, you're attacking a man
who has Bell's palsy.
Why is it when you're reporting on him potentially missing a playoff game with a headache that you have to start by telling me what kind of fucking condition he has? I don't see the need for that. Mm. They don't start. I mean, imagine if they started off every fucking Josh Allen questionable tag with, you know, failed the K metric because his eyes are way too fucking close together.
That's a deep pull. Right?
No, I mean, I was trying to say something that wouldn't actually be offensive.
He also had 50 with Bill's palsy, though. So
yeah,
exactly. He didn't. You know, do you lead off then, and do you remind people when he does good things too? It just seems like I don't know why people
media control.
Why do people like Embiid?
Because he's good at basketball.
Why do non-Sixer fans like Embiid?
I don't know if they do. I don't know if he's really outside. I don't think
Every now and then he'll dry hump the air and do a throwback to an old wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. That's what it is.
He's kind of funny. He'll make fun of some guys. But I don't know if he's
troll Embiid. I did enjoy.
Yeah, he trolls.
I mean, people hate him.
Yeah, I don't think he's super popular outside of Philly.
Yeah,
the MVP thing that happened last year too, the flopping, the playoff disappointments, all the dirty play against the Knicks. He also got a flagrant tonight by hitting
runs. Allegedly dirty.
I thought that was a reach.
I mean, I'm not making a statement on that last play one way or another. I'm just saying he did get another flagrant tonight.
The point is that
I think a lot of people don't like Embiid.
The other ones, sure, but that Brunson one, he was clearly swatting for the ball. That was like That's just one of those annoying. The fact that
that's
like,
a reputation call.
Yeah,
he's earned a reputation of getting flagrants now.
And also too, it's like now that everything goes to the review, it's like, well, yeah, technically he did hit his head, but back in the day, if you were watching that live, they wouldn't have adjusted it or called it anything because it's just, yeah, he was clearly going for the balls.
Will Philly sports fans show up for the game?
Yes, 100%.
I don't have that same confidence.
I'll fly back for the game.
Yeah, I'll be in the Clipper building.
Probably. The streak continues. All five games have been decided by, or all five games, the winner of the game has also won the rebounding battle. Sixers won 46-40. That streak continues. They get the win. And the cover, Scott, how say you? Knicks Sixers, game six.
I think we're going seven. What'd you say the line was? 3.5?
3.5.
I'm going to take Philly in this one.
Let's go.
I'm not sure if Embiid's going to play well or not because it is still technically an elimination game, so he still might no show it. He had a triple double. Congratulations.
He also had 10 turnovers.
Triple doubles I've ever seen.
But he had a quadruple double?
Yeah, he did. I think so.
And he was one turnover away from a quad double. But the point is, he was not very good for most of the game. In overtime, though, he was solid. And he had a couple of really nice overall rim protection plays at various points in that game. Maxey got unleashed, I guess. But the point is, he caught fire. He had 40-plus points. The issue with the Knicks is that they really only have one guy. And you're waiting for other guys to step up. Hart's three-point shot, which was phenomenal early in the series, has fallen off a cliff again. I don't know what happened to DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo has kind of been, I'd say, invisible for various points into the series. He hit the big three-pointer in game two, but he's been kind of a non-factor. And Anobi's been okay offensively, but not amazing. It just feels like the Sixers have a couple more options. If Embiid and Maxey are great together, it's going to be tough for the Knicks to match. And I feel like with the home crowd, I think Embiid, maybe you could argue, should not have called out the home crowd. Maybe he should have. But I do expect a better home court atmosphere than what they got in game four. And we saw the Bucks, for example. Halliburton called out the home crowd for Milwaukee. They came back, and Milwaukee won by 20 tonight. So I think that it might have actually been a positive for Embiid. I think it's going seven. I thought it was going to go seven when the series started. Give me the Sixers -3.5.
In fairness, Milwaukee maybe better basketball town than Philly. So that, I don't know if Philly responds.
Right.
I mean, they're all jerking off over Cooper DeGene.
Cooper DeGene's very fun player.
It's a white cornerback. That's a unicorn.
Exactly. That's why they're all
maybe
jerking
he's
off.
A safety. We don't know. Punt returner.
Who's more popular right now?
He better be a corner.
Yeah. He better be a corner. Who's better? Who's more popular in Philly right now? Embiid or Cooper DeGene? Better approval.
Cooper DeGene. I mean, that dunk highlight of Cooper DeGene dunking in high school, that video is pretty popular.
The Sixers could use that.
Yeah, dude who can dunk. I think they got a couple guys that can dunk. Lonte, how say you? Sixers, Knicks, what do we like?
Yeah, man, I love the Sixers in the spot. I think that Nurse did two things that really kind of swayed my view of how he's going to play out the rest of the series. He shortened the rotation. He only played, technically he played eight guys, but Paul Reed only played 3 minutes and he saw like, okay, this is not going to work. I'm pulling him out. So he went with Oubre, Tobias, and then he kind of mixed in Campaign to take Maxey off the ball a little bit more. Less Lowry as possible. You don't need a lot of Lowry. I would rather Campaign come in there. Now, obviously, you're asking for a lot if you're asking for Tobias Harris to actually play basketball and earn his paycheck. But he
I don't
did
know
that.
What happened there though in game five.
Yeah, he played well.
Remember
that? Yeah, he did that tonight. He did that tonight. And I don't, you don't even need that. All you need is just like a quarter of that. And if he's locked in and he got the first few shots. I think he hit the first three. He got when New York's making a run, he hit a big three in the corner to kind of calm everything back down. So if you can get him to play just decent and match that intensity, I think that they're going to be fine. They got to find a way to get Embiid out of those Brunson pick and rolls. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's absolutely getting killed. He can't move laterally on it.
Zone kind of worked there in the second half.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, no, they did. They did. What they're doing is they're bringing, if you watch Embiid, so they're bringing the closest man off of the screen to kind of brush up on Brunson, and they're like shading Embiid to the opposite side. So he's not switching. But Now go ahead.
No, no, no. I was just going to rant about Tobias Harris. Career earnings, $248 million. Zero all-star appearances. That's insane.
Yeah,
that's insane. And it's good to be an NBA player.
That's part of the process, right?
I guess.
But his dad said he needs more shots.
I mean, he played well. He was such a zero for most of the series, and he was actually playing some defense, hitting some shots.
Yeah,
that's what we need.
More Batum too. Batum. The length with Batum, Oubre, and Tobias. They're all like 6'9", 6'10". Like they're all on the perimeter, which is what's giving Dante, I think, some trouble. And I mean, Jalen's going to be Jalen, but you got to cut off everybody else. You can't let Hart get those offensive rebounds. You got to kind of match their intensity. And I thought they'd
be the Knicks centers have no offensive talent whatsoever besides getting put back layups and dunks. They can't do anything.
Yeah. So. I love the Sixers though, man. Everybody get some Genos and get ready to rock.
Let's go. Kramer, how say you?
I think you gotta take the home team here. Give me the Knicks invading.
Oh wow.
Once again, we'll hear the MVP chants. Philly, soft ass sports town. Oh, that'd be great. Let me get a throat.
Would you agree
slit
though?
Too.
It is a get right spot for a soft ass sports town to actually show up for one.
Well,
game.
If they cared about basketball, and that's the part that Sean knows deep down in his heart. They really are too busy and dehydrated.
The Flyers are in Los Angeles. Yeah. The Phillies are in Los Angeles, and the Flyers are home. So what else?
Oh, but the draft just happened. They're all watching highlights of Cooper DeJean playing basketball.
Did you see? I mean, Ryan, he took one all the way back in overtime. Pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, great at the college level in Iowa.
Yeah.
Wait, time out. He took a punt return back in overtime. How does that happen?
He returned a punt for a touchdown in overtime.
I'm saying that's impossible in college. You get the ball at the 25 yard line.
Yeah,
that's a good point, Scott. I'll look into that.
Okay. Well, in fairness,
I think it was at the end of the game and they called it back.
It's a walk off.
Yeah, it got overturned. That wasn't an overtime. That should have won the game. But that's why you lost me. You said overtime.
Again, this is why Philly
I'm just
sports
learning
fans,
about Cooper DeJean.
This is why Philly sports fans won't be locked in tomorrow for the game.
Yeah, I'm knee deep in Cooper DeJean highlights.
They're watching fucking highlights. And don't get you. I mean, Toledo football, really, really impressive stuff in the MAC.
I know Kobe gave you all you can handle on the scout report for him.
I was fine if they took Cooper DeJean in the first round. Howie got his magic and got two cornerbacks.
Will Howie be at the? Will the draft picks be at the game?
I mean, they should have Howie ring the bell, which is like the ceremonial.
Can he reach the bell? Is it maybe a stool?
Yeah, you know,
I saw a very funny conspiracy theory on Twitter about Howie Roseman that nobody knows if he's actually a good drafter or if he only drafts well-known players. He just drafts people that like everybody knows from their couch just in college football, and it's like, oh, they got this guy. Oh, he's great. That's why they draft half of Georgia's team every year.
I saw this on Reddit. There is someone who is claiming that he just drafts the consensus like mock draft so that the people react kindly to his draft.
He knows how to avoid taking heat.
It looks like value on their mock draft. So he's a genius.
Well, I mean, again, not to get too sidetracked with Howie Roseman's journey, but he definitely was the guy who would draft super cute. And you know, draft all these Florida Gators, your Riley Coopers. And then when Chip Kelly got control of the GM position, put him in a locker, literally, moved his office to the equipment room, essentially. And then Howie just had like a year off to study other GMs. He came back and he just started drafting, to Scott's point, players that people know, AKA guys in the SEC. Oh, Devonta Smith won a Heisman. Oh, I'll get this guy. Jalen Carter.
So pissed at that. I'm still pissed at that. They jumped in front of us to get Devontae.
If not,
and Jalen Hurts. Hey, he's won a bunch of football games.
If not for Chip Kelly.
I don't know. The Chip Kelly really sabotaged the entire team. But
Have LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, probably still paying LeSean McCoy.
Shady does not like Chip Kelly.
No. I couldn't tell you one player who said positive stuff about Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
All right, last game of our slate. If you want Friday, Saturday action, of course, subscribe to the NBA Gambling Podcast. Milwaukee Bucks catching 9 points against the Pacers in Indiana. This is tough. That the spread just came out. It's suggesting again that Giannis and Dame are out at 9 points. I'm guessing that's
Do they not care about winning the in the playoffs either?
Who?
Just teams in general. Yeah. All these.
They're gonna get a better draft pick, right? I don't know.
Giannis just sitting out this year.
Well, everyone. I mean, that was crazy. I got Indiana to win the series at 2-1 because it was like, yeah, Giannis is really fucked up. What are we doing here? I mean, we'll see if they end up pulling it off. They should get the win. They should ice it here at home. 9 is kind of high, but. I don't know, man. The Pacers offense usually is pretty good. This felt like an outlier a little bit, like a young team kind of got rattled on a hostile road environment. They'll come back at home. And I think close things out. Like their offense before this game, it was 3 games with 120 points or more. I think that'll be enough to cover 9. I just don't see these Bucks guys that were, you know, shooting pretty well and carrying them offensively doing that in Indiana. Once again, maybe the number, maybe it gets close, but I definitely think they get the win. So I'll take them laying the number. Maybe it's a hair high. Scott, what do you make of this game?
Yeah. I initially had Bucks in 7 in my series, but Terrell and I did love Milwaukee tonight. We just thought it was a classic lookout spot.
Yeah.
Oh, the Bucks, you know, are missing all these guys and we're going to dominate. Like, no, I think Indiana knew in their back pocket. Oh, we just dominated at home. Why would we not just dominate again at home? And I feel like Milwaukee came out like a desperate team and they punched Indiana in the mouth, mostly in the second quarter. And yep. I think that Indiana might be able to bounce back and win this game in game 6, but you know what? Give me chaos. Give me Milwaukee. Let's dare this young team to close it out. Give me the Bucks.
9 is a ton. But again, you also
experienced team that's trying to win its first series in like for a lot of these guys ever. I mean, when was the last time they won a series?
That's
true.
LeBron
to 7 with Oladipo
10 years ago.
When was the last time they won a series?
Dale Davis probably on the team.
But I just want to.
Roy Hibbert the year they beat the Knicks?
Yeah, I think so.
It's been a long time since they won a playoff series. Yeah. There might be some nerves in that building.
Danny
Granger.
That was my squad in NBA 2K7. I was a dominant force with the Indiana Pacers.
I just want to go back to something real quick. Scott, you said Bucks in 7. So that means you thought Doc Rivers would win a game 7. Just want to make sure we get that on record.
I did. Oh no, you don't understand. If Doc Rivers comes back from 3-1 down, the world might explode. This is what we're on pace for right now. But
I don't know what would be more upsetting as a Sixers fan. Sixers losing to the Knicks or Doc coming back from 3-1 and winning this series. I'll be rooting against both. Well, at least obviously not the Sixers coming back, but or you know what I meant. Lante.
Isn't it a bit weird though, just based on the actual spread, that Indiana shot insanely well from 3. They had a Miami game from 3. They made 20 plus 3-pointers. I think Miles Turner went 7 of 9. They only won by 13. Despite shooting that crazily from 3, they're laying 9. It's a lot of points for a team that doesn't guard anybody. I think Milwaukee actually.
Yeah, I mean that's true.
Quite interesting.
Yeah,
I mean that certainly is the counter that this Bucks team can nothing to lose, more experienced, house money now because they thought they were done. But I don't know, man. Like, can they really slow down that Pacers offense? And can they generate enough of their own offense? To me, is really what the question is going to be.
Yeah. Indiana doesn't care. Indiana wins by 5. They're going to go home happy. They don't need to win by 10.
No, you're right. I mean, that's why 9 feels crazy. But again, if it gets down to, I don't know. I could see, I could see the Bucks punching out. Lante, how say you?
Yeah. Give me an outline on Indiana. I think they bury him. I think they come out on fire. I'll take the trifecta, the first quarter, first half, full game. I think they've had pretty good success in the first quarter. They actually were not blowing them out, but they actually were leading by double digits in the first quarter tonight. They kind of just let their foot off the gas and let those guys back in the game. You just can't give them confidence, because once you give them confidence to kind of hang around and they kind of have a shot, a couple shots go in, you miss a couple. At the pace they play at, they're going to miss shots, and Milwaukee's going to have a chance to go on a run. They just have to sustain that. And I think at home, in front of those fans, haven't won a playoff series in 10 years, I think they'll come out on fire, man. I'll take first quarter, first half, full game. Give me the team total as well. That's 4 bets in 1.
The
love it.
The alts are
hashtag Degens only.
Yeah, I'm not seeing the alts out yet, but I'm I like it. It's exactly what I was planning on doing here. I was surprised to see the numbers so big, but we're also we being the Kramer gang over here. I was talking about myself in the third person for some reason. We're also alt spreading the Pacers all the way the fuck up, as high as you can go. Get right to plus 420, whatever that number is. Take it or lay it. I guess you're laying it.
Yeah, I don't have.
Pacers minus a million. I guess it would probably be like 20 and a half. We'll lay 19 and a half, Lonte.
All right.
I might like that.
19 and a half. If it gets bad, I haven't hit one yet. Could get bad.
Once
it starts avalanching and those three start falling and they're just running and they don't have the depth at all. So, I mean,
correct me if I'm wrong.
I thought
that
was going to happen in the game tonight after Indiana got out to a fast start in the first quarter. I thought that Doc Rivers' team was going to quit again. And then they dominated the rest of the game. So I'm actually kind of shocked they responded that well.
I thought, you want to talk about threes. They came out firing Indiana and they were looking really good. I thought they were going to put them away.
Have people not referred to me as the alt god? I'm due.
I've heard that before.
I am. Yes. I'm due.
You've heard.
I got to get hot.
You've heard Kramer say he's due or yeah. People refer to him as the alt god?
No, it was the alt god because he kept taking Miami last year.
That was working. That was a great formula.
So beautiful.
Hopefully we can run that back.
It's a different time.
All right. Time for our lock and our dog. We'll start with you, Scott. What do you got for a lock and a dog here for this slate?
All right. So for the lock, I think I actually am going to go with Orlando in this one. I had them as my lock on the last time I was on the show. I had a -2. They won by a million. The home teams won every game. I don't know if Jared Allen's going to play or not, but we know Orlando as a young team does tend to play a lot better at home than on the road. Until a road team wins a game in the series, why would I pick Cleveland to actually win a game? Like in an opposing arena? I don't feel great about it. They arguably should have lost tonight. So give me Orlando minus the, you said it was 2.5?
Three and a half now for Friday's game.
Yeah, I'll go with Orlando minus 3.5. I think that they'll eventually get the crowd into it. I think Wagner and Banchero have a good game. And I think Cleveland might know in their back pocket, oh, we've won all three home games. Yeah. We can just kind of chill if things go poorly. So give me Orlando, desperate team, kind of like Milwaukee tonight to get the job done. -3.5 is my lock. For my dog, I really want to go for absolute chaos and take Milwaukee. I really want to do it. You know what? It's a fun story if Doc actually does pull this off. Give me the Bucks. Dog. Let's do it. Bucks money line. I'll dare Indiana's young core with Halliburton's bad back to actually win a playoff series for once. Give me Milwaukee money line.
I like it. I also like the alt spread the other way. But yeah, I like it.
No, I see the case. I'm gonna enjoy my Pacers series price. But I see the angle the Pacers screwing this up.
Set up a sweet
price on that, by the way.
Yeah, plus 295 bucks on the money line.
Sweet Polish middle right there.
Fear the deer.
Let's do it.
According to Scott,
lay 19.5 and take the money line the other way.
There you go.
Lonte, give us a lock, give us a dog. What do you like?
Man, I'm going to lock up Dallas. I think they come in. We all talked about it. I think we all pretty much agreed on Luka having a great game. I think, of course, if the Clippers shoot 62% from three, then whatever, they just win the game. And despite that, Dallas still led late with the chance to win, and they kind of ran out of gas. So I do like Dallas to take control of the series and win 3-2. And I think we'll be back in LA for game 7. Maybe I'll fly out to be at that game.
Let's go.
Cause Steve Ballmer on the courtside being a fucking maniac.
What about a dog, Lonte? What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go against Scott here, man. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Cavaliers on the money line. I think they close them out. I don't think they can afford to come back home and play. You don't want to give those young guys confidence.
They can't afford it. Cleveland's entire economy is based on LeBron.
Yeah. Well, they got this. This will be the first playoff victory. I mean, the first playoff series win since LeBron. So since he left. So yeah, I like Cleveland. I think they win outright. I also think that they could possibly win by double digits. I think Jared Allen being back, they're gonna lock up that paint, force Orlando to shoot outside jumpers. Not sure they're gonna fall even if they're at home. I think we see a good Donovan Mitchell game. Give me the Cavs on the money line.
Cavs on the money line.
Game 7s here, Lonte. I'm trying to get the people with this.
Well, so is the NBA, Scott. You always got to remember that. And they may bring in the series extender Scott Foster for this Knicks 76ers game.
Oh, yeah.
I will not lock that up because I didn't touch it tonight. and look what they did. I'm not going to put my stink on it. But for my lock, I'm going to ride with Lante here on the Mavs minus three. I just don't see James Harden and Paul George doing it back to back. And Mavs is a road favorite. I'm going to keep riding that. That was good to me all regular season. I'm going to keep it going here. And then for my dog, I will actually do a two-team parlay. Give me the Miami Heat plus 14 and the Mavs minus three parlay together for a decent size plus money. Cause I really like the Heat and the points. I can't quite get to them plus 700 on the money line.
Throw that alt line in there. Minus 19 and a half for Indiana. Let's go, Kramer.
You want to throw in like a UFL two touchdown score or something in there?
I was 4-0 in the UFL and hit my parlay. So technically 5-0. So thank you for bringing that up, Scott.
If these cowards would open the first touchdown markets in the UFL already. Sean.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I missed you locked up Philly or you
didn't touch.
Oh, interesting.
Just
because you're soft ass. Sports fans, no. Lock Knicks plus 3.5. Dog Knicks money line. Let's go. Podcast over.
That should be a great. That's a great sign off. Podcast over. All right, gents. A lot of fun having you on. Make sure you follow Scott at Rice Shell Radio. Not only the NBA gambling podcast, you can also hear him on the MLB. And then rolling solo on the tennis gambling podcast. So lots of opportunities to hear Scott discuss gambling on SGPN. And of course, make sure you check out Lante as well on the NBA gambling podcast. You can follow him at XXLanteXX and making some also get on the baseball show as well. So the ever elusive Lante. Like that, Ryan.
He's slippery.
Yes. And make sure you check out all the playoff podcasts, NHL, the hockey gambling podcast, the NBA gambling podcast. Great time to hop in for some playoff action. Ryan, we got the UFL coming up, but more importantly, an event people want to watch on Saturday, the Kentucky Derby. Yes. So excited for that. That's going to be Thursday's episode, taping a little early to accommodate our horse whisperer himself, Malcolm, across the pond. So looking forward to that.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, Stacking the Money Green. He's Ryan.
Go next.
Kramer, let it ride.